Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
Are you ready to grow spiritually? Me too. Hold up your Bible and let's make our confession. This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind is alert and my heart is receptive. I will not leave the same as I came in Jesus' name. And every time I come to Church on the Rock, my life and my faith get stronger and stronger. Amen. Give God your best shout, would you? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, open your Bible with me today. We're talking about what to do when it feels hopeless. What to do when it feels hopeless. We're going through a time right now that we've never been in before. We're facing things that we've never faced before. Discouragement comes in, especially at different seasons of our life. One of them is when we're facing uncertainty. Discouragement comes in where there's new challenges, there's new problems. Many times when we're going through a new season, we're uncertain about the future, and discouragement tries to come in. Well, I want to talk to you today about how to get hope back and bounce back from discouragement. How to get hope back and bounce back from discouragement. So last weekend we started and we looked at Psalm 42. And if you're new to our church, we welcome you today here and online outside. And what I want to do is kind of expository teaching because we want to grow spiritually today. So we're going to look at Psalm 42. I'm going to read 11 verses, that's the whole chapter, and then we're going to give you 10 things that will bring hope back and help us bounce back. We're going to look at David, and David, right now, he's very discouraged. He's devastated. He's distraught. He's depressed. He's down. His own son, you see why, Pastor? His own son, his family, is out to kill him. Absalom, his son, has been plotting and planning to bring him down for the last 4 years. So his chief of staff has left him, David, who was the father of Bathsheba, by the way, and his own chief of staff has left him, joined the administration of his son to come after to find David and kill him and take his kingdom. So David has been run out of town, run out of his kingdom, run out of Jerusalem. He's been betrayed by his best friends. He's been chased after by his own son. And so all these things are going on in his life. He's depressed. He's discouraged. He's distraught. And so how does he get hope back? Because he does. He gets hope back, and he bounces back, and he goes back into Jerusalem. But what I want you to understand at the end of this chapter, chapter 42, even though at the end of this, he gets his hope back and he bounces back from discouragement and he goes back to Jerusalem, nothing has changed there. But yet he still has hope now. Well, that's huge for you and I in COVID to understand. Here's the big thought. I have to change before my circumstances will change. I have to change before my circumstances will change. Now, that's huge because most people want their circumstances to change and then they'll change. Most people that you work with, even live with, next to, most people say, when he changes, I'll change. When she changes, I'll change. When they change, I'll change. When it changes at work, then I'll change. That's not the way to bring real lasting change. We learn from chapter 42 that David, at the end of this chapter, he's got hope back and he's bounced back from discouragement and he went back, But back in Jerusalem, everything was still the same. The key is it eventually changed, by the way. And Absalom, you know, had a really bad ending of his life and his administration. It eventually changed. You know, it may look bad today, but if we'll get hope back, right, and we'll bounce back, God can turn around what's going on in your life today that looks really bad. God can turn it around for your good like he did for David. Amen. Let God be true and every man a liar. Oh, God wants to let God arise and all your enemies be splattered. I think it's scattered, right? And so I just want to encourage you today that it may look bad like it did for David, but if you'll change and I'll change, eventually then a domino effect, our circumstances will change. So if we're waiting for things to get better, I've got to get better. Okay, I'm coming over here. Keep working on the sound, guys. I don't think it's working quite properly. If I want things to get better, then I've got to get better, right? If I want things to change, then I've got to change. You and I have to be a change agent. I got this week in my devotional, and I never thought about it, but you know, Jesus was a master at change. Jesus was a master at change. Jesus was a master at facing change. Jesus was a master at dealing with change. All of us are dealing with it right now. And I tell you, if we'll look at Jesus and learn from him, guess what? You and I then can be a master at change and a master of change. We can be change agents for our family, our children, our friends, right? Our brothers and sisters in Christ. You see, Pastor, where did you get that? John 7, verse 37, in the Good News Translation, it says that Jesus did everything well. Jesus did everything well. Well, change would include everything. So Jesus knew how to deal with change. He knew how to adapt, adjust. He knew how to navigate through change and do it with excellence and do it well. So there were no casualties. There was no bad things that happened through it, but he knew how to get through it and come out on the other side. So if you and I, as Christ followers, amen, somebody, if we'll learn from Jesus and follow Jesus, we can be a master of what we're going through right now in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to look at this now, and then I'm going to read through it and come back, give you 10 things that if you and I will apply them to our life, that then the same thing that happened for David will change, hope will come back, and we'll bounce back from discouragement, and we'll be able to get back on track, and then things will begin to change in our life. You ready for our journey? As the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I love this. That's a song, by the way. We've sung it for years. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I go and stand before him? Day and night, I have only tears for food. He's feeding off his feelings. While my enemies continually taunt me, saying, where is this God of yours? You know, we can't focus on our problems, and we can't focus on our enemies. Well, that's good to know. You can't focus on your problem. It only gets bigger. And you can't focus on your enemies, people who have hurt you. Can't do that. They're asking, where is this God of yours? My heart is breaking as I remember how it used to be. We can't want to go back and live back there the way it was, because one thing that's constant is change. And we have to learn how to adjust, adapt, navigate, maneuver, and come out better. Jesus was a master at change. So my heart is breaking as I remember how it used to be. Well, I've felt that. Haven't you felt that through COVID? I mean, come on, let's be honest, you know. You lie, we fry, right? And we've all wished, man, can we go back the way it was before March? I mean, I've wanted that. Can we go back to business and life and home and family and church as usual? Well, guess what? We can't go back. But as Christians, Kim said it today, in Christ, our future will be better than our past. Amen? That has to be your mindset or you'll go crazy, okay? So he says, my heart is breaking as I remember how it used to be. I walked among the crowds at Church on the Rock, leading a great procession to the house of God, singing for joy, giving thanks amid the sound of the great celebration. Why am I discouraged? What is he doing now? He's talking to himself. He is being honest with himself. What is he doing? He's getting ready to counsel himself. He's learning how to counsel himself, how to get hope back, bounce back from discouragement, and get on track. So we change, then our life will change, our circumstances. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? Look what he says. I'm going to put my hope in God. He's getting his hope back. I'm going to put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. Now I am deeply discouraged, but I will remember you even from a distant Mount Hermon, the source of Jordan, from the land of Mount Mazar. I hear the tumult of the raging seas as your waves and surging tides sweep over me. But each day the Lord pours out his love upon me. What did we say last week? Three things we gave last week is, number one, I have to throughout the day meditate on God's love for us, right? Number two, each night, during the night, we sing praises. Y'all know that he inhabits the praises of his people. Y'all know that praise stops and stills every enemy, right? Y'all know that praise brings his presence, and in his presence, all your enemies will melt. Fear, anxiety, worry, stress, all melt in his presence. But each day, the Lord pours out his love upon me, and through each night, I sing his songs. And number three, this was our teaching last weekend. I pray to God who gives me life, a prayer life. Oh God, my rock, who is your rock today? Boy, don't let our culture be your rock. Don't let the government be your rock. Don't let your job be your rock. Don't let your career be your rock. Don't even let your family be your rock. But may God your rock. Build your house on the rock. Church on the rock. Oh God, my rock, I cry. Why have you forgotten me? He's asking why. Why must I wander around in grief? You know, we need not to focus on the grief. It's there. We don't ignore it, but we process through it. Don't camp in the grief season. This is for somebody right now. You're grieving. Don't camp there. Don't stay there. Go through the process of grief. But you know what you do? Don't focus on that grief. Focus on your God. Don't focus on the great grief. Focus on your great God who will get you through the grief. And you'll come out in Jesus' name. Amen, somebody? And so he's asking why. Why have you forgotten me? Why must I wander around in grief, oppressed by my enemies? Their taunts break my bones. They scoff, where is this God of yours? Last verse. Why am I discouraged? He's asking himself questions. Do you know we won't grow until we ask ourselves honest questions? I think it's working now, right, guys? We won't grow, everybody at home, we won't grow until we ask ourselves honest questions. We have to do that. You know, it's easy to blame everybody else, isn't it? It's easy to do that. But most of the time, we have our foot in our own way. We're in our own way. So why am I discouraged? He's asking himself the hard questions. Well, why is my heart so sad? And so now he says, I'm going to change, and change is going to start with me. He said, I'm going to put my hope in God. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? Do you all remember the first verse? It says that we're to pant after the water like the deer pants after the water. What's he talking about? Priorities, right? He's talking about seeking God. Here's a golden nugget. When you and I keep our priorities right, and they drift during difficult times, don't they? Let's be honest. During difficult times, they drift, our priorities. So it's so important to know that when I get my priorities right, my life gets right. I'll say it this way. When I start seeking God, I get back on track. When I start seeking God, I get back on track. I received emails last week from our church online, from our members, and they were telling me, Pastor, that was so good because during this time, I've let my devotional slip. I've let my one-year Bible slip. during this time when I'm working at home and the kids are coming in and the dog and the cat and the hamster and I'm getting all these interruptions and I can't manage my time now, Pastor. I can't get things done that I want to get done. And I've let the most important things slip. And I'm going to get back on track. Seeking God will always get you back on track. Today, if you're under confusion, if your life is full of clutter, in a crisis, in a chaos, seek Christ in the crisis. So why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? He said, I'm going to put my hope back in God. How to get our hope back and bounce back from depression. I'm going to praise God again, and He is my Savior, and He is my God. So now, are you ready to take some notes? I want to give you 10 things that we just learned from those 11 scriptures. 10 things, how to get hope and bounce back. Number one, make and keep seeking God a priority. I just talked about that. Make and keep seeking God a priority. During times that are difficult and we're under pressure, it's easy to get in a hurry. It's easy to get disorganized. It's easy to let the most important things drift. But the most important thing is our relationship with God. The most important thing is putting God first. When we seek God, our life gets back on track. So I encourage you there, back with the devotionals, back with the one-year Bible, back with that praise time, back with that fellowship time, back all those habits that made you strong and stable before, incorporate them once again. Evaluate my life and look at my habits. Evaluate what my priorities are. And number one, my priority should be seeking God. So stay with me, guys. So number two is don't focus on your problems. Don't focus on your problems. As long as I focus on my problem, I won't get my hope back. Because whatever I'm focusing on, what happens? It gets bigger. Whatever I'm focusing on is like a magnifying glass. It gets bigger. If I'm focusing on the problem, how can I see the promise? Focusing on the problem never brings a positive result. I hope you're hearing what I'm saying. Because just listen to the news. All they're doing is telling you the problem. All they're doing is telling you the problem. If all I'm doing throughout the day is talking about my problems, I'm never going to get my hope back. I'm never going to bounce back from discouragement and get back on track. So number one, make seeking God priority. Number two, don't focus on your problems. David was focusing on his problems, right? Number three, cast down reasoning. What's that, Pastor? Asking why. Did you notice that he said that his enemies were asking him, where is your God? And so David began to ask God, why? Why is reasoning? Cast down your reasoning and asking why. We shouldn't be asking why. Do you know why we shouldn't be asking why? It's a lack of trust. It's a lack of trust. When we're asking why, and we all have done it, I've done it. When we're asking God why, we're saying, God, I don't trust you. God says, don't ask me why, ask me what should you do next. Because as long as I'm asking God, why did this happen? David was asking, why is Absalom after me? Why does it look like I'm losing my kingdom? Why did my chief of staff leave me for my son? Why are all these people opposing me? And as long as you're asking why, it's a lack of trust. We have to trust God when we don't know why. I don't know why COVID. I mean, we know it's part of the end times with plagues and pestilence. And we know that in the last days that evil men are going to get even more evil. We know that. We know it's a part of the end times event. But why now, God? As long as I'm asking God, why, you know, COVID? Why did it take my job, my savings, my loved one? Why? As long as I do that, I'm trying to reason it out. And I can never reason my way to victory. The Bible says, lean not to your own understanding, reasoning, but trust, everyone say trust, trust in the Lord with all your heart. He will direct your path and crown it with success. That's Proverbs 3:5-6. That has been my life verse during COVID. That's the verse I've been standing on personally during COVID. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Lean not to your own reasoning. Lean not to your own understanding, but trust. Everyone say trust. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's your spirit. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and He will direct you, and He will crown your life with success. I like that. That's a good life verse for right now, don't you? So I got to cast down reasoning and asking why if I'm going to get hope back and bounce back from discouragement. Number four, counsel myself with the word. Counsel myself with the word. You know, remember David began to talk to himself, and he began actually to speak, you know, the word of God and what God had said to him. So it's important if I'm going to get my hope back, God's word gives us hope. God's word gives us faith. God's word gives us perspective. For example, it may look hopeless today, but Pastor Kim prayed it. Jeremiah, I'm going to say to myself, it may look hopeless today, but Jeremiah 29, verse 11 through 13, God, you said that we have a future, that we have a hope, that you will not harm us, but God, you only want to do good for us. And so we're going to focus on that hope. Come on, somebody. That future, what the word says. We said last weekend, one service here in the last few days, we said that Jesus combated the devil by saying, it is written. It is written. So you need to counsel yourself with what is written. You need to get in the word and the word in you. I like this scripture, John 15, verse 7. It says, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, then ask what you will and it will be done for you. Y'all remember that verse? Isn't that a good one? John 15, 7. If you abide in me, watch this, and my word is abiding in you, then you pray and you get answers. What's the key to answered prayer? The word has to be abiding in me. That doesn't mean that I stand on it one day and not the next. The word abide means to take up residence. You build a new home. You're not going anywhere. It's only when I won't let the devil steal the word from me. It's only when I won't let circumstances or people rob the word from me. It's only when the word that I stand on it and I don't move until I see it come to pass. That's when we get answered prayer. The word can't be visiting. The word has to be abiding. The word has to be abiding in us. Does that make sense? So counsel myself with the word, and what will happen? Hope will come back. We'll bounce back from depression and get on track. Number five, what did David do? Don't put your hope in people. We love people. We serve people. We minister to people, we help people, but here's what I found. My dad taught me this. My dad, who's in heaven, he taught me this. He always said growing up, Hebrews 12, he said, Dave, run your race, but to run your race, you have to keep your eyes on Jesus. Y'all know that verse? It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, let us run our race with patience. So he always told me, my dad always told me, Dave, now he was a deacon in our church, not a demon, but a deacon. He was a deacon in our church. And he always told me, he said, Dave, if you get your eyes on people, you won't finish your race. You love people, pray for people, serve people, work with people, get along with people, grow with people, but don't put your hope in people. We've all found out. I remember one time when Kim and I were getting out of college, a mentor of mine who's now in heaven, a pastor who was a mentor and a coach, and I worshiped the ground he walked on. That was my problem. Did you catch that? I did. I wanted to be like him. We're in college, and he was a successful pastor, and he had been our pastor, and he was a successful pastor in a different church now, and he had charisma, personality, and everywhere he went, large crowds, he wrote books. And I just worshiped the ground he walked on. Y'all hearing what I'm saying now? And so he made Kim and I a promise that when we got out of college, he would do something for us. And when we were getting out of college, we came to him. And lo and behold, he said, oh, I'm sorry, I hired somebody else. Broke our heart. Now, we're young in the Lord. We haven't started the ministry yet. We're in college, just getting out. But here was our hero. I worshiped the ground he walked on. And guess what? I learned a hard lesson. I think we all have to learn that lesson at one time or another, don't we? We love people. We serve people. We thank God for people. We need people. But we don't put our hope in people because we are all flesh. So David learned that. He couldn't put his hope in his son that was betraying him, in his old chief of staff that was betraying him. He learned that you can't put your hope in people. Number six, you have to focus on the goodness of God. If we're going to get hope back, we got to focus on the goodness of God. Another scripture I've been claiming during COVID, this is just me. Is it okay if I share my own personal devotion, life verses that are getting me through COVID? Is Psalm 23. You know, we're going to walk through the valley of the shadow. We're going to walk through it, the valley of the shadow of death. But the scripture I've been standing on is he said, mercy and goodness will follow you. Would that include fall of 2020 with COVID? Mercy and goodness will follow you all. Now, I like what it says in the Hebrew language. It says, surely. In the Hebrew language, it says, surely. Oh, I love that. That mercy and goodness will follow you every day. Every day. So focus on the goodness of God. Do you remember when they, here's a little story, Bible story. When they sent the praisers out in 2020, think about that now. In 2 Chronicles 2020. And where are we at? 2020. 2 Chronicles 2020, they sent the praisers out. That's what God told him to do, right? Didn't make sense. It wasn't logical. Didn't reason, right? But he said, send the praisers out. Do you know what they were saying when they went into spiritual warfare? Praise ye the Lord, for he is good. And his mercy endureth forever. What was on their lips? The goodness of God. Alyssa Summerall, who's now in heaven, was a friend of our ministry, a mentor and a coach. And I can always remember Alyssa Summerall, who was mentored by Smith Wigglesworth. I can remember all the time I'd be with Lester, he'd be saying, God is good. God is good. Under his breath, he'd be saying, Lester Summerall, he'd be saying, God is good. God is good. What would happen if you and I begin to declare that throughout the day? The goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Oh, yeah. So David began to focus on the goodness of God. It'll bring hope back and we'll bounce back from depression. Number seven, meditate on God's love throughout the day. We've looked at that. But as Josh comes out, y'all remember that verse in the New Testament that says, faith worketh by love? Y'all remember that's in Galatians chapter 6. It says, faith worketh by love. What does that mean? That if I don't understand God's love for me, my faith won't work. If I don't think God loves me and God's for me, how can I have faith in a God that I'm questioning? So we have to meditate. And we looked at that last weekend. So we're not going to spend a lot of time there. Just go back to last weekend. And number eight, sing praises during the night. We've talked about that. Boy, develop our praise life. Amen. It's got to be bigger than 5 minutes at church. Thank you for those holy praises right there. Hallelujah. And then number nine, develop a stronger prayer life, right? A stronger prayer life. What is that? It's daily fellowship with the Lord. It's those habits. It's those habits that cause us to be strong. And then put your hope in God. Put your hope in God. And I have a scripture for this. So he didn't put his hope any longer in his administration. He didn't put his hope any longer in his position as king. He didn't put his hope anymore in his own family, his son. He didn't put his hope in those that he went to church with that betrayed him. He didn't put it. So what's he doing now? He's changing. Now remember, he's going to go back to Jerusalem. Everything's going to be the same outwardly, but it changes eventually. Because he changed. Here's my prayer. Oh God, help us today to change. Amen, everybody? Because when we change, then our circumstances will change. So put your hope in God and not in man. And look at this verse, Psalm 27, verse 13. I love this. Yet I totally what? Trust. Yet I totally what, church family? Trust. Yet I totally trust. That's what God wants you and I to do during COVID when we don't understand and we want to ask why. But God, we've asked why. Forgive us for asking why. And God, we're just going to trust you. God, because we put you in control, we know, God, you are in control. And you're going to work everything out together for our good. Yet I totally trust you to rescue me one more time so that I can see once again how good you are while I'm still alive. Heaven's going to be great, but I want it to be great down here. Right now, heaven's going to be good, but I want it to be good right down here for my family and for you. Can I have a witness in the house? And then he says, here's what I've learned. Now, this is the good question. What have you been learning since March? What have you been learning since March? What area of your life have you been growing since March? What have you changed in a positive way to draw you closer to God, your family, since March? We want to be learning and not losing. Can I have a witness with you all? Here's what I've learned through it all. Don't give up. Oh, I love that. Don't give up. Just turn to somebody and tell them, don't give up. Yeah. Somebody needed to hear that today. Don't give up. Don't be impatient. Wow. As one with the Lord, get close to God. He said, be brave, be courageous, watch this now, and never lose. Tell me, what does it say on the screen? Never lose hope. If you lose hope, you'll give up. If you lose hope, you'll give up. What's our topic? What do you do when it feels hopeless? You do what David did, these 10 things, and hope will come back, and you'll bounce back from depression and get on track. And you'll change, and eventually your circumstances, they will change. Here's what I've learned. Don't give up. Don't be impatient. Get close to God. Be brave. Be courageous. And never lose hope. Yes, keep on waiting. Oh, here's my favorite part. For he, God, will never. Finish the statement for me, would you? For he will never. One more time. For he will never. God will never disappoint you. Man will, I will, we will, but God won't. So that's why you can safely put your hope in him. Amen, somebody?
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.